Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Deeper Daily Podcast for this fifth day of April. It's a Friday. I pray your week has been productive and full of the free favor of God and that you are resting in His goodness and His grace. Life may be throwing you some curveballs right now. Things may not be so great. We know we have a good Father in spite of it all. And so we don't judge the goodness of our Father by whether or not things are going well. And I pray you are able to see through whatever it is that's going wrong, that's going awry, and see the goodness of your Father shining through. He's not giving you evil. He's not rewarding you bad for your bad. You are in a covenant of grace, and His goodness abounds. And it doesn't mean bad things don't happen to you. It means you should never attribute them to the Father. He's a good, good Father. For the last several days, we've been dealing with this passage from Luke 11. It constitutes the first 13 verses. I actually think that it drags back into chapter 10 a little bit with the Mary Martha story, but for purposes of breaking it down, it's the Lord's Prayer followed by the story of the man who comes to his friend at midnight, knocks on the door. That's followed by the famous Ask, Seek, Knock, the acronym ASK, Ask, Seek, and Knock, which is then followed by an amazing set of comparisons in which Jesus points at the fathers in the crowd and says, how many of you fathers would be such a bad father that if your son asked for this, you'd give him that, this, that, this, that. And he contrasts something that's good for you with something that'll kill you. And then he sums it all up. He tidies it up with a little ribbon on top and says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And as I said yesterday, it's also Matthew 7:11. I don't know if I told you that, but Matthew 7:11 gives the same story and says, changes it a little bit and said, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? So this whole passage has been about prayer and what we're looking at, what we're looking for. I want to read for you a few paragraphs. I don't know that I've ever done this. I know I've read for you other people's stuff before, and I always try to tell you I'm reading so-and-so, and here's where you can find it. But I don't know if I've done this extensively. So I want to just take a couple minutes here, and I want to read for you three paragraphs from Robert Farrar Capone's book, Kingdom, Grace, Judgment, subtitled Paradox, Outrage, and Vindication in the Parables of Jesus. This is from pages 225 and 226. This is just some sort of free-flowing commentary on the passage we just read. I want you to hear this. I just felt like it says it so well, and I didn't want to just paraphrase it. So the following three paragraphs. That'll be the bulk of today's podcast. It is in that light, therefore, that we should look at the last part of the text. Everyone who asks receives, Jesus says, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Taken literally as a program for conning God into catering to the needs of our lives, that's pure bunk. Too many sincere, persistent prayers have simply gone unfulfilled. But taken as a command constantly to bring our deaths to His death and to find our resurrection in His, it is solid gold. Furthermore, consider the clincher that Jesus adds. What father among you will give his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The two italicized phrases sum up my case. If you then, being evil, if you, Jesus seems to be saying, you who can never manage to be anything more than reasonable, who can make only fallen, sinful sense, and who are trapped in a losing battle to make a radically uncooperative world say uncle, if you whose best is none too good can still care enough to provide kippers and eggs for the condemned, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you resurrection from your lifelong death? For it is precisely resurrection that the Father and the Son have appointed as the principal gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Jesus in John. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. Pace all the self-appointed spirit promoters. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will proclaim to you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and proclaim it to you. This is John 16, verses 13 and 14. The work of the Spirit is nothing other than the work of Jesus, and the work of Jesus is the raising of the dead. This Lucan passage on prayer, then, far from being a pious sop, far from being a promise of spiritual comfort to make up for an inveterate failure to deliver material gifts, whether in full, on time, or at all, this conclusion to the parable of the friend at midnight is nothing less than a proclamation of the heart of the good news. We have died. We do not have to ask for death or seek it or work ourselves up to it. We have only to accept the death we already have, and in the clean emptiness of that death, we will find the life that all along has been hid for us with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. We are safe, not because of the reasonableness or persistence of our prayers, but because he lives in our death. Entombed together with him in baptism, we have already been raised up together in him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, Colossians 2:12. While we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together in Christ. By grace we are saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6. And all of that now. Not just hereafter, and certainly not just a week from some Tuesday. That's Robert Farrar Capon, Grace More Than Judgment, from his Parables of Grace. This is a combined version, Kingdom, Grace, Judgment, pages 225, 226. I just couldn't say it better, and I loved the way he said it, and I wanted to read it to you. So what a great way to cap off this passage from Luke 11:13. Tomorrow, Saturday, we'll introduce the sermon you can look for on Sunday, and we'll go into the next segment, House Divided Cannot Stand. See you tomorrow. God bless.